Okay. It's 11:30 and I'm super, super excited. Oh my gosh, I'm running around. I have very little voice left after talking to several people about this guy. For those who are just logging on and for those who are not yet, maybe aren't used to the calls or some of the positive energy that, that we really thrive on and love to give here, we just want to, I'm going to start by telling you guys a little bit about him before he logs on.
Hey, David.
Got on yet.
I'm on.
You are, man. Okay,
good morning. Good morning, guys. Good morning, America.
Yeah, it's so awesome. I have all the lines are muted already, Jeff, because it gets too loud on these calls where people are talking over each other. So if they ever have a question, they can hit *2. I'll announce that later on. And I'm just really, really super excited you're on the call and just here to share. And some of your stuff, I love it. I absolutely love it because it's like, what is it, Duck
David,
Duck?
David, Duck Duck Goose there. The old
That's
childhood
it.
Game. Guys, first of all, I'd like to thank David for inviting me to be a guest on the show and share my strengths, experience, and my story. I guess that's how we all get stronger is through our experiences and our story. And David, his brother, is a dear friend of mine, and I've been blessed to get to know David through social media and conversations we've had ourselves. So. I'm excited to share about good energy and positive thoughts and how we get there and what our roadblocks are in life. And I'm just going to share my story so everyone can get to know me and who I am. And I appreciate David telling a little bit about me. I grew up in Colorado and blessed to have a great family. My mom was Miss Tennessee in her heyday and dad was a food distributor. And I was always wanting to be the kid to impress the parents, as all of us were, or the ones that was the curious cat that was trying to see what kind of trouble we could get into or what kind of trouble we'd get out of. But to go where I'm going to go with this is we all have these roadblocks in our life that block us from getting into the zone, from being happy, from trying to find balance in our life. And so I've had a lot of unique experiences in my life, and I lost my father in an arson fire, and I lost my mom and my sister to suicide. And so I've had some traumatic situations that's happened during my life. But to take you back to really what I'm excited to share about is we all have things that happen in our life that we're not ready for. We're not prepared to deal with those emotions. Or we got to an age that we have expectations, and our expectations were never met through the eyes of others, and how it hurt us emotionally and so forth. So I'm excited to tell you about my story, and here it is. I was blessed to be a good golfer, and I became a golf pro. I invented a golf club, and it was F2 Golf. I was the co-founder of the F2 Golf. I did a wedge, and through this, I was a teaching instructor, and I've won a couple events. I won an event in London, and I've had a couple good experiences as a golf pro. And one of my blessings was really wanting to share the game with others and students and children and everything else. And one of my most unique experiences was teaching. I didn't realize that I thought I'm the golf pro, and I'm going to teach everyone else how to play golf. I didn't realize how much the students were going to teach me. And the students were young kids. And not a lot of golf pros teach kids earlier than 6 or 7. And I would allow them to come. And for $10 on Sunday, they would come and get golf lessons from me. Now, the unique thing about my golf lessons, when you came to the driving range, you would see Tasmanian Devil, Donald Duck, these blow-up little sandbags that you punch. Fluorescent hula hoops. And, you know, this is one of my most enjoyable experiences teaching. And I had a parent came up to me with his son. His name was Marky. And he says, I'd like you to teach my son, but it looks like you have a carnival here. I mean, I don't know if I want you to teach my kids golf. And I says, well, I appreciate that, sir. But let me ask you a question. If your kid's not going to have fun, you think he's going to continue the game? And the father wasn't sure how to answer. And I says, I bet you the reason why you brought him out here is because you want to enjoy it with him. I don't think he woke up and said, all right, let's skip cartoons. Let's skip playing with my neighbors. I want to go get golf lessons today. So it was a real eye-opener, and Mark's parents took him away. I did not give him a golf lesson that day. And we had our continuation of the golf lessons. 4 weeks later, Marky comes back, and he comes out there without his father. And his father was in the pro shop, and he says, hey, Coach Peterman, can I get a golf lesson from you? I have my $10. And I says, absolutely, you can join the kids. Well, the one thing about Marky, he was left-handed, and obviously I was right-handed. And so he started becoming a regular student. And as we were hitting balls with about 10 other kids around his same age, girls and young boys, about the 6th week came by, and I had all the kids color their balls because it was coming close to Easter. The Jewish person I am, teaching the kids to color Easter golf balls, right? And so Marky came up to me, and he says, Jeff, you know, I'm having a hard time understanding things. And I says, what do you mean, Marky? And he says, well, I just don't – I'm upset because Sally and Sarah, the girls, are hitting the ball further than me, and I don't understand. And I says, well, Marky, maybe you're putting better than them. And he says, but I want to hit the ball further. So I went home, and I thought about this, and I remember that I was an artist, and in my student days of studying art history and psychology, and I remember that, you know, there's the right mode of your brain and the left mode of your brain. And some people are visual learners, and some are people that learn from the book and instructions and guidelines. So I ended up renting clubs, left-handed clubs, for the next 3 weeks, and I practiced my game. And I continued to play left-handed for 2 months, just trying to learn how to do my lesson in left-handed. So 4 weeks or 6 weeks later, Marky comes to the lesson. And one of the things that I would do when I started out teaching all the kids, I would purposely get up there, and they all want to see me hit the ball far or towards certain things, or hit Tasmanian. And so I start off, I would show them shots, I would do this, I would do that, and I would do what the kids requested. And then what I would do is I would sometimes do things that the kids were doing, but I didn't tell them that, and I would do the swing goofy, and I learned they were paying attention because they came up and corrected me. So it was pretty interesting. So when I went up there to hit balls left-handed, all the kids go, oh, you're hitting from the wrong side of the ball. But then Marky's eyes went wide open. And then I went ahead and hit some balls and demonstrated it. And it was amazing because, to finish the story, well, I got this goosebumps on my arms. Fast forwarding it, I gave golf lessons for about 11 years. And I'm in a restaurant. And I'm having dinner. And the waiter came up and said, this gentleman... this older gentleman in the corner bought your dinner for you, for your table, and left me this letter. And he says, dear Jeff, or dear coach, I want to thank you. I'm Marky's grandfather. I don't know if you ever knew. I know my dad was kind of hard on his son, trying to want him to play golf and be the best he's ever been. If it wasn't for you showing him how to have fun and showing him how to play golf, he went and got a scholarship and became a doctor today. And he had a free run, and I get kind of teary and choked up about it because you never know how you influence people in life and how you can try to encourage them to be the best they can be. And sometimes, you know, we don't realize how our parents' voices, peer pressure, influences us. And so that's kind of where I want to take this to, is kind of what I taught as golf. You know, one of the things that kind of applies in life, doesn't always work out the exact way you want it to work out. And one of the things that I've learned about how to get into the zone, which is a lot about what David's program is about, is how do you separate your intellect from your emotions to equal rational thinking? Is your emotions over your intellect equal irrational thinking? How does a golf pro get in the zone, or any golf or any professional sports? Right? If they have the self-talk voices, which we all do, and if your self-talk voices are anything like mine, man, I got a UFC guy that's boxing me out, taking me down and trying to tap me out all the time. And I'm trying to sit there and feed it with positive voices, and sometimes, you know, that UFC fighter is still punching me in the face. So what have I learned? We hit a golf ball. We never hit a golf ball exactly the way you want. There's an exercise called framing. You got to frame the situation. What did I do wrong? All right? And then you accept the situation. And then you let go, and then you move on. It was one of the most powerful things I've ever learned by teaching others, because golf is, you only got that one shot to hit. So you got to stay into the now. If we're staying in the past, we're holding guilt and we're holding anxiety, frustration, and anger about the bad shot I just hit. If I'm projecting in the future what I got to shoot to make the cut to stay in the tournament, I'm putting a lot more pressure, which puts a lot more stress into your arms and your thinking. So what I had to learn is how to let go of things, and the only shot I can do is the one I'm coming up to. And that's kind of in life. It's taken a long time and a hard time to go there. I had another unique situation, which I'll share from golf, and I'll bounce to another storyline, because I think we have these life lessons, these aha moments that really affect us, that's helped us the most, and I'm blessed to be able to share them. When I lost my father in an arson fire and I had to pull his plug, I didn't want to live much longer. My best friend was gone. And I didn't know how to deal with that emotions. I went to a counselor months later and trying to remind myself what my dad told me. You know, talk to your buddy. You know, he's always with you. And I decided to go to counseling. And I went to this counselor, and he was an Indian. And he says, son, it sounds like you have a lot of stress in your life. And I says, yeah. He says, it sounds like you just need to learn how to use it and understand it. And I says, yeah. So I thought I was going to talk a lot. And he says, well, this is what I want you to do. I want you, before our next week's session, to go run out and yell at the ugliest tree you can find and come back and tell me your story. Let all your anxiety out. Talk to that tree, yell at it, curse at it. Come back and tell me your experience. Whew. And I'm like, what kind of counseling is this? I come home, I'm like, all right, I don't know if you guys are like me. I'll procrastinate. So I don't wait. And keep in mind, I live in Vegas, so there's not a lot of trees unless it's palm trees. So I'm originally from Colorado. I'm thinking, God, I got to go up to the mountains and find an ugly tree. And now that means I got to drive about 30 miles to find a tree. I was like, God, what a lazy butt. But you know what? I'm not good at lying. So I hopped into the car and I started driving up towards Mount Charleston. So to reveal more of my characteristic flaws, my laziness didn't want to go all the way up to the pine trees. And I saw this ugly Joshua tree. And it was like combined with about four other Joshua trees. The bottom was all burned up. It was intertwined. The wind looks like it burned it up. It had a couple green twigs here and there, struggling and so forth. And I went over there, and I probably called that tree every name in the world. I probably prayed to it, talked to it. I don't know. I was probably there for 30 seconds, and it probably felt like 30 minutes. So I come back to tell my counselor the experience. And I tell him about the tree and about how intertwined it was. And someone set a fire to the bottom of it, and it was all burnt and twined, and how ugly that tree was, and so forth. And the counselor said to me, you want to know what I heard? And I says, yeah, what did you hear? Well, you lost a father to the fire. How coincidental is that? You find a tree that has been burnt, that has still life in it, fighting through wind, struggles, and everything else, and it's still shining bright. Sounds like to me, son, you need to change your perception on how you view things. So, I'll pause right up there. That was one of my most memorable moments, and what I try to do every morning is I try to remind myself to be a good person, give a blessing, pray for others, and be grateful for what we have. In this time and era, you know, it's hard. And if we don't focus on the energy and channeling in to help out others and give love to others, that's the only true emotion that the Creator created. And at that, I hope my experiences and stories enrichen you guys and give you positive vibes and energies and goosebumps. And life's not always easy, and nothing is ever easy, but it's always easier when we have others that we can share our experience, strength, and hope with. So at that point, I just want to pause, and if anyone wants to engage or ask questions, I'm an open book.
Jeff, I'm pulling myself together. Thank you so much for sharing, because I know you've shared across the country on talk shows, radio shows, and you've given back a lot too. You did a lot in the late 90s. Weren't you famous for raising a significant amount of money for, I know you make, you know, a lot of times with some of us when my brother-in-law passed, and a lot of us joke and make light of different, situations, is because we're trying to find that positive, because there is always a positive in every situation. When, you know, my brother-in-law passed, I always still get to visit with him. I enjoy that. And you guys know I think differently. But, you know, you had raised a ton of money. What was that?
I'll elaborate on that, David. I invented the F2 Golf. I have 3 patents. We had an infomercial that did $25 million. It was on the Golf Channel for 11 years. It was one of my famous things to do. I was in many different magazines and radio shows. You can look me up, Jeff Peterman, Golf Illustrated. Did some short game tips and so forth. I was blessed to also, with that Indian counselor, work with many other students for over 19 years. And tragic, because, you know, not a lot of people know how to get through things that have tragically happened to people personally. But to go where I was going to go with David was when I first met your brother, professional football player, being with guys like that, the one thing in common that everyone has to fight at that professional level, and even at our everyday level, is our self-talk voices. How do we talk to ourselves? Do we talk to ourselves in a negative cycle, or do we talk to ourselves in a positive cycle? And sometimes our what I call our mental masturbation, I use that word loosely, we're our own enemy between our ears. And so if I set myself up when I go play and I start worrying, don't hit in the water. Oh, don't hit, knock out 5 windows. As soon as you start that negative chatter, what are you going to do? You're going to break 5 windows and not get in the water, right? So one of the things to share is I'm Jewish. And when I was a kid, they teased me. I'm going to go to hell. And my dad shared something with me that I'd love to share with you guys. And not to change anyone's belief system, but the thing that he made it easy for me when I was a kid was he never labeled. He says, talk to your buddy every night. Pray for others, pray for understanding, and pray for knowledge. And if you right your wrongs on a daily basis, the best you can, I bet it's going to be okay with your maker when it's time to meet him. And so those are things that I kind of keep to the heart, and I try to share it with others and try to stay positive, and I'd love to cheer on success, and I'm just blessed to be here, and I thank you guys for letting me be a part of you guys' life and allowing me to share my personal strength and hope for you guys and what I've had to go through in life.
I appreciate it. And what was that charity? Wasn't the – had ladies breast cancer, correct?
I did. I was blessed to be able to be invited to give golf lessons for ladies, and I raised the most money in the nation back in the late 90s. I told them they all need a golf professional like me to check for lumps and bumps on their breast, and they all got a chuckle out of it. And more importantly, they got to have a great day at golf for women. I mean, you know, women are the female species is the birth of everything in this world, on all species. And sometimes we take them for granted, for sure, and all the things that they do to the birth, the nurturing that we all have that we forget to have in life. So bless those women.
Bless them all. And on that, we'll wrap up and just say again, thank you. Thank you. Truly thank you. We are genuinely grateful, thankful, and happy to have you share so raw and so unfiltered, Jeff. We absolutely love and respect you, and I hope you hear that. You are respected, and you are truly appreciated, as are all our women on the call, taking and adding to everyone, but especially thanking you for all you do for us. We love and appreciate you. This is David Kislak and Jeff Peterman on behalf of all, wishing you positive thoughts, energy, and prayers upon you all. Have a great day. Love you. And have a great day.
Good
day. Bye now.
Love y'all.
The moderator has left the conference.